Good morning. I hope by now we should be on the air or close to being on the air. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. These are busy Sundays, always before Yontif. Bez Hashem, we hope to have a share also next Sunday before Sukkot, also busy Sunday, but we'll be talking about Hilchos Sukkah, especially here in South Florida, Hilchos air-conditioned Sukkah. So tune into that. Be'ezus Hashem. Today's shiur is sponsored L'Zecher Nishmas, Moshe Mendel, Ben Aaron Leib, whose Yahrzeit is coming up this week. We always like to thank our sponsors. In particular, the sponsor happens to be Mrs. Lichtman, the woman behind the man. And looks like Harvey protested. But Neshama should have an Aliyah, wonderful schus. So today's shiur is entitled Erev Yom Kippur, a unique yontif. Just by hearing the title, it should already make you scratch your head. Yom Kippur, I understand, is a Jewish holiday. In fact, Yom Kippur is one of the most famous Jewish holidays. Everyone knows of Yom Kippur. Even people, you know, who fortunately don't have the schus to be in shul the rest of the year, but come Yom Kippur, people come in. I saw a story just yesterday. They're describing the Yom Noraim in Shanghai, China, during World War II, when the Mir Yeshiva, with a lot of other yeshiva bachrim, made it to China. And they said there were tons of outsiders that never spent a Yom Kippur, forget about in a shul, you know, in the yeshiva, never spent it in a shul. But by the end of the fact, there was a big olam, there was a big group of people, lots of people came to shul, to yeshiva that year, and a lot of people's lives were impacted by it. So Yom Kippur is definitely a day we see probably in our own shuls, people that come who are more unaffiliated, but at least they come for Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur people know. But Erev Yom Kippur? A Yom Tov? Oh, we'll get to that. But Erev Yom Kippur, a Yom Tov, is not so well known. Okay, some people might know about the eating, but we'll get there. Erev Yom Kippur being a unique Yom Tov is not so well known. And it just might be, if we get a better understanding of what Erev Yom Kippur is, that will also help us for Yom Kippur too. But despite the fact Yom Kippur being a tremendous, great day, honestly, it's not an easy day. It's compounded, obviously, by fasting. It's a long fast. Here in Florida, a little bit longer than some people are used to from New York. Yom Kippur is a day you spend most of the day in shul, which, even if you like the guy sitting next to you, it's still a challenge. You like the chazan, still a challenge. It's a long day. So the greater our understanding of what's going on Yom Kippur, obviously help for our tefillos, for our patience, for our focus, for our mindset. And hopefully through understanding what Erev Yom Kippur is, that will shed more light on Yom Kippur itself. Now the first step, how do we know that Erev Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov? Where did I get that from? Oh. So the first source, as was suggested, in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tav Reish Daled, Sif Beis, see that some people here, they tell their wives, I'm going to be home early after Erev Yom Kippur Shacharis Davening. Why are they home early? A nof ma'apneim be'Erev Yom Kippur. The 90 seconds, 2 minutes it takes to say Tachnon, we don't do that on Erev Yom Kippur. Now, why is it we don't say Tachnon on Erev Yom Kippur? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, and that's on your sheets, a noflim al pneim, we don't say Tachnon, dinogim lasos ksas kemo yontif. We make it a little bit like a yontif. Other yomim tovim, lav davka, right? Erev Chanukah, yontif drabanon, right? Erev Shavuos, that might be Shlosh Me'akbala, but Pashup shout-outs, Erev Yontif, we don't, that's not a reason not to say Tachnon, at least by Shachris, maybe by Mincha. But for Shachris not to say Tachnon, especially on a Monday and Thursday, right? You don't get off so easily, at least in Nutzvah Shishols, right? You don't get off so easily. Why is there no Tachnon in the Erev Yom Kippur? Zak the Mishnah Berurah, because it's noeg ksas yontif. And just one more step. The Chafetz Chaim has a second place he comments this. In Siman Tafresh Beis, the Mishnah Berurah there, Sivkat and Zayin. Normally, by Slichus now, towards the end of Slichus, we do Vidoy three times. Right? Do Hashem the Baganu, say paragraph in between. Get fired up again, Shalom Maganu, three times. Except during Slichos and Erev Yom Kippur, we only do it once. Why do we get away so easily? Right? So some people thought, because I'm going to be smacking myself the whole day tomorrow, so I get to do less today. That's not the real pshat.
You have to recover because you're so sore.
Right, right. Pounding. It's also like we don't blow. You know, for the same people to think that we don't blow the shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah because we've blown so much tomorrow. That's not the real reason. The reason why we don't, here the Mishnah Berurah says, one of the reasons we don't do three times the vidui on Erev Yom Kippur is because it's a yontif. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. Yes.
Isn't it also like Purim, so we have to have 2 days?
Right, Yom Kippur. Yes. Oh, so it says ksas. It's a quasi, semi. We know a ksas yontif by it. But where does this come from? What is this notion that Erev Yom Kippur is a holiday? You know, honestly, you know, this is the type of year which is very hard work-wise to take off days, right? Every yontif falls out in the middle of the week. So it is a big challenge for people working out their vacation days. A Talmud of mine recently switched jobs. You know, it was one of the type of things where, you know, COVID and challenges in businesses. So he was pushed out of one job, sat for a little bit, Baruch Hashem got a different job. And he realized, he says, it's such a machaya, his new job, it happens to be, is a old Jewish company, and everyone's off on Yontif. You don't have to take off days. It's a big milo. But when you have to deal with taking off days from Yontif, and last year we gave a share about Chol HaMoed, so we know Chol HaMoed's also an Inyan. So you're stuck. Erev Yontif, most people don't have the luxury to take off. But if you happen to have the choice, you know, I have one extra day. I could take off Erev Sukkot or Erev Yom Kippur. Now, it could be there are things you need to do, and that's a cheshbon. You know, Erev Sukkot is a busy day. Last minute Sukkot chores, Arba Minim, who knows? Okay, so that might be a reason to pick Erev Sukkot. But if everything else is equal, really, the choice of when to take off, Erev Yom Kippur is a yontif. It's a real bona fide, we'll see soon, bona fide elements of a yontif, and it's kedai to take off, perhaps, if one is able. Now, what's this yontif of Erev Yom Kippur? So, I'll first bring the Mishnah Berurah here. And this leads to the part of the Erev Yom Kippur that people do know about. But I hope to expand upon that. The Mechaber writes, this is Tav Reish Daled. First thing he says about Seder Erev Yom Kippur. What do you have to do on Erev Yom Kippur? Does he say you have to go to the mikvah? He says that later, yeah. No hagim to go to the mikvah. Kaparos, talks about that later. Yeah, we got to do kaparos on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a longer mincha, talks about that later. What's the first thing, you got to do on Erev Yom Kippur? Mitzvah lechol be'erev Yom Kippurim laharbos besuda. You know the first thing you got to know about Erev Yom Kippur? Very Jewish. You got to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat. Laharbos besuda. And to have a lot. A lot. I actually saw brought down, somebody says you should eat 2 days worth on Erev Yom Kippur. I'm not going into nutrition and this, but the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef writes, it's a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur, or Harbos Pesuda, and to have a lot of food. What's the basis of this? So really, there's two Gemaras. There's a Gemara, it's really the same Gemara appears in Yuma and Rosh Hashanah. There's another Gemara in Brachos and Avches. So the Chafetz Chaim brings it. Mitzvah Lecho, Zakta Mishabura, the Kasev Inisim is Nafsho Seichem. We're supposed to Inoy is somewhat, not a good translation, makes suffer. But that's not really the best translation. B'tishah l'chodesh. We're supposed to have some type of Inoy on the ninth of the month. So Mishabur points out, Ha'ilo l'kasev b'tishah l'chodesh b'erev, Tanu Shnaf Shosechem, out of Erev. Really, it's not the ninth, it's the night, the beginning of the tenth. Umniksiv inisem betisha lechodesh, Mashas yasu betisha v'emes yom kippur in al basar lechodesh. The pasuk, the language the Torah uses is strange. Why are we talking about Inoy, about holding back on the ninth day? We're holding back on the tenth day. Yom Kippur is on the tenth. The Kibbul Chazal, this is where the Gemara comes in. The Adrabah, mitzvah min HaTorah. It's a mitzvah, Chavetz Chaim quotes, it's the Magen Avraham Shita, that it's a mitzvah min Daraisa, lechol b'erev Yom Kippur. There's 100% a mitzvah saseh Daraisa. We don't have too many of those that we do on a daily basis. The mitzvah saseh min HaTorah to eat an erev Yom Kippur. Hashem wants to give us a reward as if we fasted. She'ein adom the mitzvah she'yesh bo tzar, k'mo she'amar from tzar agra, right? A mitzvah that has a challenge to it, we get rewarded more. That's the concept of from tzar agra. She'ilu kasa b'tes b'chodesh ma'achilu lo yolanu schar el k'mekayim mitzvah so'idei achila. If it only said the ninth day you should eat, the Torah just wrote straight up this idea. The ninth day you should eat. So we would just get regular schar. L'chein shina akasav akasav mitzvah achila b'lashon tainis. She'inechshav achila zu v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilo hayit tainis k'dei litin schar k'mekayin mitzvah b'tzar inoy. Let me put down my cup so I could use my thumb. Right? You hear what the Gemara is saying? One of those. That the Torah wants us to eat on the ninth day. But the Torah isn't just going to say eat on the ninth day, because then the reward we would get is for eating. How hard is it for us to eat? For most people, it's pretty easy. No? It's not hard? So the Torah wants you to get rewarded on the ninth day for eating as if you're doing a very hard mitzvah. What very hard mitzvah are you doing on the ninth day? It counts when we eat on the ninth as if we fasted. That's what the Torah is trying to do. is trying to give us extra schar for eating on the 9th as if we fasted just like we fast on the 10th. Now, Harvey, I know he's going to ask. It's great. So if I eat on the 9th, it's considered as if I fasted on the 10th. I don't have to fast now? No. It's as if then you're going to end up with 2 days of fasting. You get credit for fasting on Yom Kippur, Be'ez Hashem, but you also get credit for fasting on the 9th, a two-day fast. Not bad. That's what the Torah is trying to do. Now, after I read this Mishnah Berurah, I still scratch my head. Okay. So now I get that I'm supposed to eat on the 9th day. Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat. And not only is it a mitzvah to eat, it's a big mitzvah to eat. It's going to be considered a mitzvah that I'm doing with tzar. Okay? So now you know I'm going to eat double the amount I do every day. It's a big mitzvah. Big mitzvah to eat. You guys get excited for these types of mitzvahs. But it's still bothersome. Like, what's the point?
Isn't there just simple logic that if you're going to stop eating, you have to be eating before to stop?
Yeah, that's true.
When it comes in, you have to stop.
Right. But it doesn't mean the erev of every fast day, right? Erev Tisha B'Av, there's no mitzvah to eat. You have to eat.
But there's no...
Like, just like you have to eat every day.
It's not just saying, you know, to stop. Here there's a possibility
yeah.
to stop.
But here it's saying more. Here the Torah is saying, according to the Gemara, there's a mitzvah for a person to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And that mitzvah is such a big mitzvah, mitzvah d'oraisa, it's considered as if you fasted. Now, fasted, you know, for Yom Kippur. So that's a big deal. You know, the schus of fasting Yom Kippur is a big schus. And, okay, great. But what is this idea? Still sounds very, very strange. You have more?
I have more.
Yeah.
So if you have someone who's not really shomrei mitzvos totally, if they intentionally eat a lot Erev Yom Kippur, but then they don't fast, they're getting mitzvah for eating a lot Erev Yom Kippur.
Very good question. This is going to come up, right? What was just brought up is, let's say you have a person, let's say even a person is irreligious. Now, they have to eat l'shem, the mitzvah. I don't know if it works, you know. They're eating like any other day they eat. But if a person does eat, they heard about this. You know, there's a share on the internet, online. Who knows who watches the share, right? Share online, Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to eat. You're bringing up, what happens if they end up not fasting tomorrow? Do they get schar for this? So let me start to address that. What is the reason why? Okay, now we see this whole thing. The Torah wants us to eat on the 9th. We get schar as if we fasted. Okay, but what's the purpose of the eating? Why is it that we eat? Does it apply to everybody? So the most basic pshat, which is probably what most people here are familiar with, it's Rashi's pshat. He says in the Gemara a few times. The reason why you eat is very simple. So you should be able to fast tomorrow. We eat today, so we can fast tomorrow. Very, very simple. But that may only be one of the reasons why we eat in Erev Yom Kippur. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his Shari Tshuva, this is not the Shari Tshuva that you find inside the Mishnah Berurah, which is an achron on Shulchan Aruch. Rather, this is the Shari Tshuva you find in the Musar section of a shul, or Beis Medrash. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote the classic, one of the classic svarim on tshuva, Sefer Shari Tshuva. And in there, Shar Dalid, he goes through three different reasons why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The last of the three is the Pashup Shat. If you look on your left side of your sheets, we'll start from the last one because it's most simply understood. Vashlishis, Laman Nechsek, Laharbos Bitfila. The reason why we eat is in order that you should have the strength to be able to say lots of tefillah v'tachnun and b'yom kippurim. He actually adds another point, which maybe Rashi doesn't spell out. V'losas eitzas b'nafshenu al tshuva v'koreha. Nice idea. Is that Yom Kippur is not just a day. Sometimes we miss this. Yom Kippur is not just a day where, okay, where are we up to in the Machzor? What do I say now? It's not just about saying things. Yom Kippur is really a day of introspection. It's a time for a person to really think by himself. You might be in the middle of a shul with hundreds of people, but really in a certain sense, Yom Kippur is a day, it's good for you to be locked up in a room. Just think. Desert island. Just think. Think about Eitzos Benafsho. What could I do? What is there any Eitzo I could think about myself, you know, to fix this issue? Anyone knows to have real good deep thought, you have to be in the right mood. If you're hungry, if you're dead, it's very hard to think about ways how to function. You know, it's an amazing thing. You go from one Moser Sefer to another. The Masilas Yesharim says part of the dastardly plan of Paro to, and really, you know, I'm sure, you know, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, took the same page out of Paro's playbook. Over here, Paro's playbook. That when you have people that are constantly working, tichbad avoda al nashim, they have no time to think. And there's no way they're going to plot an escape, plot a rebellion, plot some way to get themselves out of this situation if they're constantly being worked. There's no time for them to think. So really, Sol Sharm says that's what the Yetzer Hara does to us on a daily basis. We're so busy, and in our generation, we're busier than ever before. And there's never time to think. Yom Kippur is a day really just to sit back and think about oneself. And so the most basic first element, why is it that we eat in Erev Yom Kippur? That we should be in the best physical state possible. Obviously, we're going to be fasting. But going into Yom Kippur, we should be in the best physical state so we could think about, okay, how do I do a better tshuva? Not just be able to daven better, but able to think better and how to do things. So that's one reason. But I want to start now with, in yeshiva here, Erev Yom Kippur comes early. I've got to talk to administration here. But base medrash pop, you know, Kanatahara doing well. Now, I want to read the first, let's go back to the first part of the Rabbeinu Yonah. I'll read through it quickly. He says, V'ata ki ein lanu karbanos. Now we have no karbanos. V'avaseinu, v'avaseinu, v'avaseinu. Imchata adam bihirur alev. Ol sha'avar ha-mitzvah saseh. What does a person do if you violate a mitzvah? So, Chazal say Yikara Parsha Sa'ola, Asher B'tchila Seda V'yikra. You know what you should do? Read the Karbanos. Right, you look in the Lav Sidurim, they have the Karbanos printed. Then he says further, quotes the Gemara Menachos, Kol Osek B'Parsha Sa'ola, Kila Hikra of Ola. If you're involved, and we'll talk more in a moment what that means, in learning the parsha of the Ola, is if you brought an Ola. So the parsha's chatas, asham. Vim avar adam a mitzvah slosa say vasa tshuva. Let's say a person does a mitzvah slosa say, does tshuva. So then he says, yidai glavono. He should be nervous of his sin. And he should look forward to the chance of Yom Kippur coming. That L'mani Sirasa Hashem Yisparach, that Hashem will forgive him. And then he says, V'alkin Amru Chazal, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Koveya Suda B'Yom, B'Erev Yom Kippur, person who eats an Erev Yom Kippur, Ki il nitzavu l'sanos tishi v'asiri. It's as if we were commanded to fast the 9th and the 10th. V'sanu behem. Ki heres simchaso be'giyaz man kaparaso. He's showing off his happiness when the time for forgiveness comes. V'tiyelo le'eda d'agas l'ashmaso v'yigono avonoso. This Rabbeinu Yonah is quoting the Gemara that the Chafetz Chaim brought. The business of the 9th counting as a fast on the 10th. But he's adding a fascinating dimension. The dimension he's adding is in general. What's the concept? Nowadays we don't have karbanos. But the Gemara says, the person doesn't have Eira. So a simple way we understand it is, okay, so read the karban. If I did this Avera, you know, imagine, Chas Hashem, you know, someone was involved in a car accident, and mistakenly, you know, a person was killed. It wasn't your fault, wasn't this. People would feel very bad, a lot of guilt. You know, practically, this is an idea. You know, a person doesn't, you know, something even, you could learn about the karban, right? In the times of the base of Migdash, you know, different things. A person doesn't have eros. You know, bring karbanos. We don't have karbanos now. So you have this idea. But the way the Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining this idea, it's not just you read, it's lip service. You read about the karban and you magically get kapara. No, you have to be involved in it. If you envision it, if you understand all the halakhas of the karban, and you really feel, okay, I wish I could bring that karban, but you know, now I understand all the halakhas about that carbon. I wish I could bring that carbon, but Hashem, I can't, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Please forgive me. Those feelings, those hargalshos, are what bring about a person's kapara. There's a similar idea, and the Sol Sharm also says. He asks, how do you understand the concept of tshuva? He spells it out beferish. He says, how do you scratch off an action that was done in the fabric of the world? Mesul Sharm gives the example of a person kills somebody by mistake. How do you erase that? What's the concept of tshuva? In the American system of law, in the Western ideals, a person goes to jail. Okay, he feels bad, but you're not bringing the person back. But in the Torah, there's a concept of tshuva. In Mesul Sharm, the Ramchal says that tshuva is Hashem takes the feelings that a person has now and sort of transplants them into the person back then who did the action. If you would have those feelings you have today back then, would you have done the action? If you did it intentionally, you don't feel that evil, that anger. No, you're not ready to do it again. You wouldn't do that again. And if you feel it was accidental, your mindset would be more careful not to make a mistake. Hashem has this amazing way, which only Hashem could, of taking the feelings of a person and utilizing them for tshuva, utilizing them for kapara with a carbon. So Rabbeinu Yonah says the same thing with eating on Yom Kippur, an Erev Yom Kippur. It's a simcha of kapara. I'm looking forward till tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be the day I'm going to get kapara for my averos. When a person, Hashem says, you're excited about Yom Kippur, it's not just one of those days in the calendar, I can't wait till we get past it, then I have sukkahs break, then I can eat. How many more pages left? If you're actually anticipating, looking forward for a day when you can be forgiven, that's considered a kapara from Hashem. That's the big idea. So when a person eats on Erev Yom Kippur, that's a means. I'm happy I'm eating. I'm proud that I'm eating. You take that simcha. The more you eat, I'm careful what I say, but the more happy you are with your eating, the more Hashem, and you frame that, I'm eating because I'm looking forward till tomorrow's Yom Kippur, then that simcha in a person's heart is transported as a means for a kapara. Amazing idea. And he says one more idea in between Vashenis. He adds one other step. Kibisharyam tovim nachal kovim suda v'simchas mitzvah. In general, every yontif we have eating, we have a suda. Why? Because people are happy when they eat. No? People are happy when they eat. That's why all Yom Tovim are centered around the Suda. So where's the Suda for Yom Kippur? Zakt Rabbeinu Yonah, the Suda for Yom Kippur is Erev Yom Kippur. And there too, he quotes a pasuk that we read just last week, a pasuk in the Tochacha. Why does all the bad things happen to Klal Yisrael? Tachas Hashem Vavartas Hashem Alkecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Leivav. Because we're not serving Hashem with simcha. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes, really the concept that there's a tremendous mitzvah in simcha. And we want the simcha of a sudas mitzvah, which we have by every yontif. We can't have a Yom Kippur, because that's a fast day. So we have this, the suda, the simcha of Yom Kippur on Erev Yontif. That's for sure this reason really hits home. Why is it a yontif? Yom Kippur is a yontif. It's a famous line from Yisrael Salanter. If you'd have one Yom Kippur a lifetime, that'd be the greatest gift. You can wipe your slates clean. The fact that we have it every year shouldn't take away from how special it is. But really Yom Kippur is the greatest of all our Yom Tovim. It's the day HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us new, fresh and clean. When do I celebrate that Yom Tov? You celebrate Yom Kippur on Erev Yom Kippur. I saw one of the Perushim, one writes a Perush on Shari Tshuva, the Birchas Avram, famous Sefer in Gemara. He asks, why don't we put the Suda the day after Yom Kippur? So I just got free, I'm a free man, I'm clean. So we should have the Suda Motzi Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur. Why do we do it beforehand? So he says, because then you'd be missing out on the simcha of anticipation. Really, the best way to celebrate Yom Kippur is with the anticipation of what's coming. And that will be the most useful. And besides, right after, we have to run off to sukkahs. Right, go build your sukkah. Oh my gosh. So with these three understandings, I think we have a better idea of what Erev Yom Kippur is. Number one, it's a day that we need to eat to prepare for tomorrow. Two, that through the hargasha, through the feelings of simcha, Hashem values our feelings. Through the feelings of simcha, that adds to a person's kapara. I'm looking forward to my kapara on Yom Kippur. And thirdly, Erev Yom Kippur is the Sudas Yontif. And therefore, the Sudas Yontif can't have a Yom Kippur, so we have it in Erev Yom Kippur. And that really explains why it's a Yontif. Now, just to run through quickly a few shilas, practical shilas. Do women have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? Kiva Eger had a suffix about this. There are some comments that I repeat for the home audience, and some I don't. So, Rabbi Kiva Eger has a suffix. So, he has a tzad. Well, if Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah which comes specifically this date of the year on Tes Tishrei, that's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Mitzvah saseh shazman grama, women are potter. Or do you say, well, since the reasoning it's connected, eating on the 9th to fasting on the 10th, and women have to fast on the 10th, therefore, they're connected to. Rabbi Kiva Eger is not sure. However, most of the later Acharonim all say that 100% is a mitzvah on women also to eat. So you should tell them that there's a mitzvah to eat in Erev Yom Kippur. What are you supposed to eat? Do you need to have an actual suda? So it's also that's a machlokas Acharonim. The Stei Chemed says yes. Minchas Chenach says no. When I talk about a suda, I'll talk about that in a moment. It doesn't just mean the suda, there's a suda hamafsekas, the suda that you have before the fast. But really, there's an idea Tzad, when we talk about having a Suda, we're talking even earlier in the day. For lunch, you should have an official Suda. And then later, you can have an early brunch, whatever you want to call it. Then later in the day, to have another Suda. I still remember this like yesterday. I was learning in Chafetz Chaim back in the day in Forest Hills. And Erev Yom Kippur came out on a Sunday. Sunday, basically, the kitchen was closed. I won't tell you what came out of that kitchen the rest of the week. But what they serve Sunday for lunch, serve, I mean, it means they put out. It doesn't mean people ate it. Sunday, they served these, like, baked potatoes, which didn't look so good, with, like, and you could get, like a little spoonful of tuna or egg salad. That was lunch. Shvach HaMaisis, yes. Let's just say most of the yeshiva tried to get the pizza store Sunday for lunch. They definitely didn't have bagels and eggs, you know. Wasn't what the yeshiva was serving in those days. Anyway, so I remember that year, the yeshiva was supposed to have a suda for lunch because every Yom Kippur. They forgot to tell the kitchen that. They put out the baked potatoes and tuna fish. The guys were up in arms. I remember Rebbetzin Leibowitz, Lael Shalom, was also quite upset about it. Or she would probably laughed. That was one year, Rabbi Sharfman Zatzal, he's told the story. He was livid. He was a balker in yeshiva. One year after a fast, you know what they put out to eat? Leftover cholent. I think Rabbi Sharfman told me he marched to the yeshiva's house to complain, you know, what they're serving, leftover cholent. And Rabbi Hanuch's response, he carried himself in life, you know. He started, he couldn't stop laughing. The Rebbetzin felt very bad. I remember her telling anyone from the yeshiva once could go any restaurant, put on the yeshiva's bill for lunch. I know I didn't take them up on that offer, but it could be there were some guys who did. I'll ask why I went there. But Lamaisa. Oh, next question. Do you have to have bread for the Suda? So the Stechemet again says, ideally, yes, bread or mazonos, one should have. There are those who say, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be. They bring a raya. If a Suda by Purim is an ideal, you should wash, but there are people that don't wash. Some sheet, isn't it? I saw one of the Rabbanim from Lakewood pointed out, he's like, oh, well, maybe if the whole issue of eating is to prepare you for the fast tomorrow, you could have vitamins, protein shakes. You know, that all counts if it's for that. You know, I'd like to point out that only works according to the Pashut understanding in that Rashi. According to this Rabbeinu Yonah, that there's multiple other reasons why we eat. Really, the ideal should be Tam Tzai Pasuda, not just a protein shake. Or, you know, some vitamins or this. You know, people should have some type of Suda. And Hagufa, the more a person is able to focus and have a Suda, you know, that gives them more of a chashivas for the day. If you sit down to eat, okay, we're going to have a Suda. My wife's family, they have a minug. Three times a year, they eat kreplach. Right? Somehow it comes from klopping. Yiddish word for klop. It's kreplach. So they... So they, since you clop, you know, on Yom Kippur, thus, this, Hoshana Rabbah, you clop, not the time. But, okay, I'm getting all the Yiddish and hug them off. Right, right, right. I won't tell them. I want an extra clap. But one last story. How seriously people took this concept of eating on Erev Yom Kippur and the mitzvah to eat. And this is bona fide, found in the Svarim. There are many Gedolim that spent the entire day on Erev Yom Kippur eating. Now, it doesn't mean they had their hands in a potato chip bag. But not that type of Gedolim. But there are stories of Gedolim that had candies. They sucked on candies or stuff that they were able to have multiple times during the day. You know, in general, you know, Harvey gives out candies to the kids. Maybe on Erev Yom Kippur, he could pass around shul, you know, lollipops to the adults. But, I'll serve breakfast, okay. But either way, if more a person realizes that Erev Yom Kippur is a yontif, it's a day before one of the greatest days of our year, because Yom Tovim of the year, we're having Suda for Yontif, and the more on Erev Yom Kippur you focus on what the next day of Yom Kippur is going to be, Be'ezus Hashem, that should be a means for us to have a very meaningful and productive Yom Kippur, and it should be a tremendous schus for all of us, and we should all have a Gemar Chasima Tova, and only brachos and yeshuas. Thank you everyone for coming, for listening.